What's going on, everybody? I'm Johnny Brook. Welcome back to another episode of the Crafted Podcast. Podcast all about making stuff by hand, woodworking, leatherworking, electronics, and more. We got some a special leatherworking talk this week with James's recent foray into leatherwork, so excited to cover that. We put out new episodes every week on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, pretty much everywhere podcasts are available. They come out every Wednesday. We have a new Patreon page if you guys want to support the show a little bit. We are up to three patrons so far. We've got Matt Parker, Scott Hahn, and Taylor Craig. So thank you guys. Very excited to have that rolling. Really want to get some more listener support and so we can bring out some cool rewards and improve the show. So I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, James Wright from Wood by Wright. What's going on, James?
Not too much. Why, thank you for asking, Johnny.
And I've got Zach Herberholz from ZH Fabrications, who has his mouth full. What's going on, Zach?
As always.
Yeah, so thanks everyone who's joining us in the live chat. We always have fun with that. Also, just one more thing to mention, we have a new app. So if you haven't already grabbed that, Crafted Podcast on the Apple iOS store or the Google Play store. So who wants to kick us off with what we're working on? James, I guess since I kind of teased you in the intro, why don't you... I love that leather project, man. That thing is awesome.
Yeah, my background, actually, one of the ways I kind of made my way through college was in leather work. I used to make medieval and Roman and Greek suits of leather armor, like the full body.
Whoa.
Like bondage suits? Not like, say that in your intro voice.
I worked with the best
yes
plates.
Yes, James the Gimp.
But no, I finally I've been wanting to do some more of that with the channel, and there is a lot to leather working that fits very well with woodworking, and I've finally found a few niches that I can kind of work into that. And so last week I made a tool roll, which is a way I can store all my chisels. Eventually I'd like to make one for auger bits and files and things like that. But it's a very simple project. I mean, it was simple enough I actually did while I was sick this last weekend.
Nice.
But the big thing going on right now in the shop is something called a dresser.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah.
How's that coming?
It's actually been going. I got about halfway through piston fitting the drawer panels.
Ooh, nice.
So that's the step that comes right before dovetailing.
Yeah, huh. Sweet, man. Sweet. I'm that has been quite the project.
Yes.
Is that going to be like one video or like 20 videos?
I think six out so far on it. And I think I have another three, and then I'll do one big wrap up at the end.
Wow, man, that's awesome.
So it's I actually started on it just over a year ago. It was about a year and a week ago now. So,
man,
do you have a director?
Awesome. You have one external hard drive just for that project?
Yeah. No, it's a lot of footage. I think I'm up to 70 some hours worth of footage on it so far.
Wow, man, that's crazy. And in 4K, that's a space hog right there, man. That's awesome. That's cool.
I just keep telling my wife it'll be done for her her birthday, which is in May. So I gotta get on that.
I hope that's doable, man. You got plenty of time till then. I believe in you.
I also said last March, and then I said by the 4th of July, and then I said by Thanksgiving, and maybe by Christmas, man. And maybe by my birthday. And
dude, your kids better cherish that thing in like 50 years from now. You know, they better be passing that down through the generations.
They will curse the day it was made because they'll have to move it.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously, man, that's awesome. Yeah, I love that tool roll. I am really wanting to get into leather stuff. It's funny, I bought this like thick piece of leather, just like a 4-inch wide strip by like 40 inches long. And I want to make a guitar strap out of it, and it's basically already a guitar strap. I just need to put a couple holes in it, but I want to make it a little fancy. And I just haven't gotten around to it yet. You know, there's a few tools that you need to do most of the basic leatherwork stuff, but it just always looks so fun. And, I mean, I love a good quality leather product, you know, whether that's a wallet or boots or whatever. It's that really turned out cool.
It feels good.
Yeah, and you have a lot of chisels, man. My word.
Yeah, that video didn't even show half of them.
Man, yeah, that is quite a few chisels. That's cool. Zach, how about you, man? I've been seeing those barn doors come together. Those things are looking awesome.
Yeah, they're going to be really cool. I'm kind of at a standstill, though. I'm waiting on the hardware. Seems like the hardware is kind of standardized for certain lengths, and of course the doors aren't standardized that I built, so they're for a specific length that is not quite standard. So I'm doing some research trying to see what I'm going to end up going with on those, and chances are I'll buy them and I'm going to have to, you know, modify them and cut them and weld them and do all that sorts of stuff. So that's kind of at a standstill right now. So in the meantime, I have done some more work on the truck. I had a spare door that came with it, so I primed that and swapped the window mechanism over, which I don't think I've ever cursed more in my entire life than switching like window tracks out in a vehicle. It would have been hilarious, but I just stopped recording my failures until I figured out what I was doing for sure. So
at least it's not motorized.
Yeah.
It's going to be probably the worst video I've ever put out. Just because I left
beep,
so...
Beep, 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 beep.
Well, no, I just stopped... I mean, I screwed it up. Like, if there's 9 ways to put it in, I found out the 8 ways not to put it in. I didn't say that right, but you see what I'm saying. Yeah. And so after like failing 3 times, I just shut the camera off.
Yeah.
So for some reason, like, I feel like camera batteries are the most valuable resource I own. I have one of them.
What?
So if I'm like recording, oh, yeah, dude. I know.
Oh my gosh. It's terrible. Oh my gosh. How is that even humanly possible, man? Jeez.
It's frustrating. So, yeah, like if I'm recording dead air, I just feel like guilty,
dude. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, I need to order one. It is ridiculous. They're probably really cheap too.
Yeah,
oh my gosh, so many things that my brain can handle at a time, and camera batteries isn't. I need to order one this week. I'm going to do it right after the podcast.
You should. Well, they have all the cheap ones now. I mean, that's what, you know, the first thing when I buy a new camera, I get like 4 batteries to go along with it from like, you know, the Amazon knockoff, whatever, like Wasabi brand or whatever it is.
Wasabi.
I think that's what they're called. They have like green writing on them. But yeah,
it gets so bad to me sometimes. Like I'll be out of battery and like I'll put it in the charger for 10 minutes so that I can record like 30 seconds of video sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, yeah.
That is hilarious.
It's not a story of efficiency.
No, certainly not.
Truck door. Oh, I got it licensed and registered, so I can legally do the things I've been doing in it, like drive it places.
Wow, that's awesome.
It was a really happy moment for me. Like I feel free because I've had my motorcycle, but I haven't had a car other than my wife's car for a year. So it's like this new liberation, like being able to drive to the hardware store, and it's got a nice 8-foot bed so I can like actually put 8-foot stuff in it, or even longer if I go diagonally because geometry.
Yeah, that is nice, so, man. I do wish my truck had a little longer of a bed. I mean, it's long enough, but like when I bought all that walnut off of Craigslist, it was a little sketchy getting home. You know, it was kind of leaning out, and it would just kind of slide to the left and slide to the right, and it was...
Funny, I don't know if it's everywhere, but I feel like trucks over the years have just gotten less and less trucky.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the cabs have been swallowing the bed for,
yeah,
like, the past 30 years.
Yeah, SUV with, like, a open trunk.
Yeah, I like, do you remember like those Subaru Brats they used to have in, like, the late 80s?
Yeah.
Or, well, like, it's...
You remember the Ford Explorer truck? I mean, that thing had like a 3-foot deep bed. It was like ridiculous. It was the stupidest truck ever.
Like, you can hold a bag of oranges.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. But if you want your luggage to get wet on the way to the airport, you can get that truck. Yeah.
So it was really satisfying to go to the steel mill the other day and just be like, yeah, cut it in 10-foot sections and drop them in diagonally. It was.
That is pretty sweet.
Very proud moment.
That is sweet.
So, enough with the truck. The chairs are actually I'm going to start that hopefully this week. And then I have some prospects to do an outdoor sign for a place, a big drawing board that I'm going to try and do uniquely, maybe out of metal or something, like for a big architecture place.
Nice.
And maybe a table. And I have some crazy ideas. I've wanted to do this for a long time, but a suspended table. So it's actually going to be suspended. If I get my way with it, it'll actually be anchored, suspended to the ground with like two cables, and then to the ceiling with like, I don't know, probably four cables.
Dude, there's
so it'll actually be it'll actually be solidly in place, yeah. But it'll be held by cables.
A lot of leg room.
Have you ever heard of Arakawa, the company? That is like what they specialize in, is just hanging hardware for all kinds of shelving. And dude, they check them out. I will put a link in the show notes. I've been following them on Instagram for a while, and it's exactly what you're talking about. Like, you know, total suspended everything. It's gorgeous stuff. I mean, I don't even know if they do tables, but I've only ever seen shelves and signs, and you know,
I haven't seen it anywhere else. I thought it would be original, but maybe not.
That would be cool. I think the one thing that could make it better, though, would be like an upholstered tabletop. I know we've
and a tufted
tabletop. So all the crumbs can get right in there. That would be that'd be highly efficient. Well, I have been working on a bunch of random stuff. I've done almost nothing in the shop this week. It's been kind of a weird week. I finally found a place to order the glass for the river table, so that is on order. I placed the order for that on Monday. It's going to be quarter-inch blue plate glass, so pretty excited about that. I am going to have them cut it because it was $70 for the piece of glass, so I was not about to mess that up and have to buy another piece. So, you know, they can cut it for like $20, and the tool itself to cut the glass would have been like $18. So
you found your blue glass, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty pricey, but you know, just went to a local commercial glass place and they had, you know, they had samples of all kinds of stuff, but they didn't have it in stock, so they had to actually order it. But all in with the cutting, it'll be like $100. But you know, there's really no way around that. That is, I could have gone with clear glass.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I mean, clear glass would have been like $30. So I mean, plus the cutting fee. But I just, the whole look is the colored glass. So I think that's going to be worth it. And I'm really excited to see how that'll turn out. I think I'll probably go tomorrow to, I'll bring my template that I'm going to make out of like cardboard and then have them cut it. So that should be really cool. Just working on the organ cabinet video that'll be going out by the time you guys who are listening to this through iTunes or any of those places, it'll already be out. I got the demo video of the organ being played recorded today. So that was really, really cool. That thing it's amazing. I mean, it is a full, you know, three, I think they call them registers, is that right? The three separate keyboards with all the buttons and all that stuff, and the footboard and the three expression pedals all running into a computer with some crazy software. And they literally went and recorded these individual organ sounds at all these famous organs like around the world. So there's like 30 different organs in there that have been, you know, with like the actual reverb from the churches that they've been recorded at. It is wild. It was pretty fun to mess around with that thing, but I'm pretty stoked with how that build turned out. So that's been really exciting, and also just working on a new website. I've got a lot of things cooking with that, so hope to have it at least switched over to this new website within the next week or so. So it's been weird. It's been like a lot of like kind of behind the scenes admin work and no real, I don't think I've made one speck of sawdust this week. So it's been kind of a strange week for me, but
that's been my whole January. And it's been really disappointing for me. Like I've done a lot of things that I've needed to do. Like I finally actually got around to setting up my LLC and getting all my tax stuff figured out. And
oh yeah. That's
all the stuff that I just dread doing. It's been very productive, but it hasn't been very satisfying.
Yeah,
like
registering with an accountant this week
so that I can legally drive it.
All that stuff is so necessary, though. I mean, like I met with an accountant this week with my wife and I, and it's amazing how much better you feel after doing something like that. You know, even though it's almost completely unrelated from what you know people actually see. What you do, it is just such a huge part of all this stuff. So
Feels like completing a perfect dovetail.
Seriously.
I would never know.
True. But,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel bad because I haven't had any build videos.
Yeah.
But it's just the way everything worked out. Like, all of my jobs came to an end, like the end of December, and then everything's been in the design phase for so long, and they're big projects, and things are getting kind of held up. So I really haven't had much to put out there. I did, though, just put out the big 30,000 subscribers giveaway. So
yeah,
if anybody hears this, I think I'm going to run that until the 25th of February.
Cool.
And I have a whole lot of good stuff that I'm giving away there. So you guys should definitely
crazy pile check of giveaway.
Yeah.
What's that?
That was a crazy pile of giveaway.
There's a lot of stuff there. There's got to be a couple $1,000 worth of products. Easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, that's a good one. Giveaways are always fun, man.
The last time I did one, I lost subscribers. I thought that was the weirdest thing that's ever happened.
Well, you didn't give away a tool, you know? Like, I think people really are hankering for free stuff for the shop. I think that's, to me, like, the one it's been most successful is that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I thought people would, you know, want some free blacksmith roses and,
yeah,
there's a couple that did. I got a lot of submissions, but it also I lost, you know, a fair amount of subscribers, which I thought was weird. But yeah. Oh well, they didn't like me anyway.
Yeah, well, that comment right there leads perfectly into our show topic for this week, and that is dealing with negativity. So obviously, whenever you're starting a new business, whether it's online related or not, there's a lot of negativity that can surround it, whether that's, you know, friends and family second guessing you, or just, you know, internal thoughts. And you know, when you're forging out and trying to do your own thing, there are an inevitable low points and moments that you have to struggle through. So I think we just want to chat about how we deal with those moments, maybe where some of those moments come from, and, you know, maybe some advice for people who are starting new businesses. So who wants to kick us off? And an awesome comment from the live chat, actually. This podcast sucks from Bill Modify. That's awesome. Well played.
Let's
Justin. Yeah.
You kick him out.
Oh, as you were saying, James, sorry.
Click the ban button on that one, would
seriously.
You?
Yeah,
seriously.
It's ruined.
I get a lot from the hand tool community, and anytime you start working with hand tools, there are a lot of people out there who have the specific way things have to be done. And you just get a lot of negativity about why are you doing it that way? Or my favorite comment that I get at least once a week is, why don't you just go get a table saw?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, are you missing the whole point? and some of them, like that one, I've now gotten to the point where I just absolutely laugh at it because it's someone who misses the whole point. Like I was at the Piano Guys. Do you guys follow the Piano Guys YouTube channel?
Yeah, they're awesome.
I was at their live event.
Nice.
And they had one particular music piece that was just the cello. I don't remember which one it was, but one of the comments was on the video was, I love the music, but this guy doesn't know what instrument he's playing. you know, there's comments like that you've got to laugh at because they're just kind of someone who had no idea.
Yeah, completely missing the point.
But then there's a lot of people that are just like rant on you for doing something that was, of course, completely illegal in their mind. And that's hard to get over. I don't know why, but I'll read one of those comments like for the next half hour. That's what's running through my brain. And it just kind of drives you down.
Yep.
And I think responding to those comments, not like responding to it in the comment, because most of the time I don't let those go up because I don't want to see that again. So I'm just going to delete it or hide it in some way. But my personal growth of how do I respond to those comments of someone saying, you know, that was dumb. Why did you do it that way? I think that's something that I will be working on for a long time and not something I'll ever completely get over.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really much more difficult than I think unless you've done this stuff, much more difficult than you would ever know. I mean, especially because we are building stuff with, you know, our creativity, with our designs, and then putting it out for the world to essentially judge. And so when you get criticism about those types of pieces, you know, it hits a lot closer to home because you've kind of poured your, you know, your blood, sweat, and tears.
Soul into it.
Yeah. And when you, you know, when you get a comment, man, this sucks. You should have done this. You should have done that. And it's just, it's all the more difficult to hear, you know? So,
there's a quote that kind of sums that up. It's negativity is the enemy of creativity. And that's true. I mean, when you do something like that and you put yourself out there, it's really what it is. And, you're kind of putting yourself in a vulnerable situation. But if you're aware of that, I mean, it's inevitable. You're not going to be able to please everybody. It's never going to happen like that.
Well, and I think that same factor goes into the behind the scenes stuff on how we actually make our videos. I mean, I know I personally second guess the style of videos, the length of videos, the content of the videos. I mean, it is amazing how much ridiculous thought I put into this stuff before actually making a video. And it's so easy to get hung up on that stuff. And, you know, it's that whole paralysis by analysis thing. You know, you're trying to do the right thing, you know, quote unquote, the right way. And, you know, to most efficiently grow your YouTube audience and all this crap. And it's like, if you just do what you like, I think your audience is going to find you and you're going to be doing what you like. So that's just got to be the best way to go. And it's so easy to fall into that trap.
Yeah. I think one of the other things that the average woodworker who's in his shop making something, will show it to a few people, and usually they're people who are close to you and aren't going to tell you that's horrible because, you know, they know you. But whenever you throw something out on social media, you suddenly are opening up to this huge world of people who don't know you and don't care about your feelings.
Yep.
And so it's kind of it is a fantastic opportunity to spread the word broader and have more people be influenced by what you are thinking, what you are showing, and your creativity. But then in that same way, you're opening your own soul and your own creativity to the world. I mean, it's kind of like that old saying of love is opening yourself up so that you can be harmed.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, think about the alternative. I mean, if that's one option is taking a risk and putting your stuff out there and being a little bit vulnerable versus the opposite, which is not doing any of that. Like, you're not going to progress. You're not going to grow. You're not going to learn the things that come along with being creative and putting yourself out there. So,
and you're not going to get the 99% of positive feedback. That's the thing. It's like, it's those 1% of negative people that kind of weigh on us, but overwhelmingly the feedback is positive, you know?
Yeah. And also it's pretty easy to tell, like, when somebody's actually offering constructive criticism or if somebody's just trolling. Like, it's very easy to tell. It's, if you can't figure that out.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and there's the thing, like, if somebody's offering you constructive criticism and they have some social skills at all, you know, they'll say, hey, nice job here, but did you think about this? Or here's another way of doing it. That's useful. Like, that's something that you can actually appreciate and go, oh, that's awesome. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
And those people are actually there to help. Yeah. And then you have the people that are just like, you suck.
Mm-hmm. I like the trolls. I like the people who are blatantly trolls. Because it's so far, it's just so far gone that it is absolutely hilarious. And
they're easy
fun
to dismiss, you know? For sure.
I mean, it's almost to the point where you want to play with them and have some fun with it because it's you can tell that there isn't someone who's actually trying to do something. Or they may be trying to, but they're going so far that it's really not pointless. The Woodworking Podcast. They have the hashtag you should.
Uh-huh.
I love those comments of, oh, I don't love those comments. That they start the comment with "you should ...
Yeah,
and it's like, those are the ones that get under my skin.
Yeah, so the armchair woodworkers, you know, and yes. And again, it's all about the way you say it. Like I have a funny example of this. So when it was early video when I was building the J Bates miter saw station, I had just gotten a actual sliding miter saw, and so I assumed that a sliding miter saw was pretty much the same as a radial arm saw. So I was making pull cuts instead of, you know, pushing through to the cut, because I assumed the mechanism was basically the same. So, you know, why would it be any different? And I got one comment that said, you know, great build. By the way, you shouldn't really do that. You should push, you know, to eliminate kickback and all this kind of stuff. And then the other comment was, oh, I can't believe you're pull cutting on a sliding miter saw, unsubscribed, and, you know, like, you're an idiot, I'm never watching this video again. Or, you know, like, so the two variants of that one comment were so completely different. One was constructive criticism that kept me from doing something incorrectly, and the other one was just being a jerk. So it's, you know, it's all in the way you put stuff. I mean, people just, yeah. It's funny, because then he came back like 3 months later, because like seven people had responded saying, basically, you're being a jerk. And he was like, I'm sorry, I must have just been having a bad day. I'm sorry to leave that comment. You know, it's just, it's funny, because you catch people at these moments, and, yeah. You know, everybody
and
will have a bad
day.
It
hides that, too.
Oh, yeah.
It hides
that. I want yeah. a loyal army of subscribers. You know, the number isn't as important as like, the loyalty. And James has that nailed, man. You have...
For sure.
That's the other great part about hand tool woodworkers is that there are those people who are so dedicated to there's this one way of doing it, but as soon as they post something, they just start this argument, and you have the two sides that then battle it out. And I just have to stay out of it, laugh at the whole thing, and it's great to watch pitting one side against the other.
Yeah.
You don't. I mean, the way I look at it is when you lose subscribers, you get comments like that, and people leave. It's like I don't want 30,000 like Judas subscribers who just are waiting to like stab me in the back.
Totally.
I don't want that. So
yeah. It's
who was it? Someone in our group recently had a post on Reddit where someone was chewing him out for something dumb, and everyone in our group got together and went and chased after the guy.
That was me,
and
I think.
That was,
post. That was on one of my posts. You know, he was like, why are you self-promoting yourself? That's the hilarious thing about Reddit, is these people clearly have nothing to do with their lives, because they take their time to go hunt through your posting history in your profile, which, I mean, that takes some time. You know, like, it's not just readily, like, sitting there right next to your post, like, as you read it. So you have to actually go into that person's profile and look through their posts. And he's like, oh, you know, self-promotion much? And then all of us, like all four of you dudes, like hopped on and left all these comments. It was hilarious. He ended up, of course, deleting all his comments out of shame. Yeah. And that was a good moment.
Well, the thing I don't understand about, I mean, I like Reddit. I spend a fair amount of time there. And some places and some moderators are worse than others. But what's strange to me, you have a subreddit, say it's based on doing things yourself.
Yes, the DIY subreddit is literally you're only allowed to post your own projects.
or whatever. Say it's a woodworking. I'm not saying our woodworking, but let's whatever. Like say it's a finger painting subreddit. Right, somebody finger paints something and posts it there, and then they say, oh, well, you're supporting your own content.
Yeah,
you can't do that. Like, isn't the subreddit about finger painting?
Yeah.
Why does it matter? Like, so you'd rather have my friends submit the same thing and then it's okay? Like, it should be about the content. It shouldn't be about the means of the content. Does the content benefit your subreddit about finger painting to have finger painting? Then what's the problem? That's my philosophy.
Yeah, no, it is kind of ridiculous. And really, all forums are like that. And, I mean, I understand, because you don't want, you know, somebody just spamming out their content constantly. But when it's quality stuff that adds to the discussion of that particular forum or whatever it may be, that's when I don't really understand it. It's a weird fine line to walk. And, I mean, I think Reddit is the most conscientious of it. It was funny because James, I think you posted this the other day. You were looking at your analytics and noticed that like 50 something percent of your Reddit traffic had
it was
YouTube
actually
Red.
66%.
Yeah,
2/3 of all my YouTube Red traffic comes from Reddit.
Yeah, so
not like, you know, people searching on YouTube or from Instructables or anywhere else, and Reddit is only like 0.5% of my total flow.
Yeah,
but 66% of all YouTube Red come from Reddit.
Yeah, so that just goes to show how much they loathe ads. Advertising in any way. So yeah, if you're gonna post on Reddit, be forewarned. It's that's kind of how it is. So I have another thing I want to bring up. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, Reddit is kind of like the anything goes comment area where you can get comments from anything and anyone.
Yeah.
But then you have like Instructables, who their whole comment system is designed, be nice, be kind.
Yes.
Anything negative will get deleted. And they do an amazing job over there.
Yep.
I had one person once post something that was just slightly snarky. It wasn't quite bad. And it was something that could be easily answered. And I would say within like 5 or 6 minutes, there were 4 or 5 other random people who showed up and said, you really shouldn't be saying that. You should really be kind. You should be nice.
Yeah.
It's like, this is crazy awesome to see a community that is just like geared towards total positivity. It was
Instructables is great. Amazing. That was
that
was actually probably the most valuable thing I brought home from the WIA show. Out of everything for that whole weekend was that I needed to start posting on Instructables, and it is an amazing place. Even if you're not, you know, trying to make a living making content about making stuff, that was a lot of makings. Posting on Instructables is an incredibly positive experience, and they've got all these really cool contests that you can win as any sort of, you know, any dude making stuff or lady making stuff in their garage. It's just such a cool community, and I love it, and it's just become such a nice part of my week, you know, because Reddit is the most negative, YouTube is kind of somewhere in between, and Instructables is just like always awesome, you know. It's just super fun to post there.
Reddit's like your drunk uncle's house. it's like Christmas unpredictable. It doesn't quite, you never know what's going to happen. Somebody's got a drunk uncle. You guys know what I'm talking about.
He might just punch you, or he might just give you $100. You just never really know. It's so another thing I wanted to bring up, and I don't know if you guys dealt with this, but when I quit my day job to pursue this full time, you get this question, well, how do you make a living on YouTube? And it's so often phrased with that inflection, which to me is this, it's kind of a slight, you know, there is a sense of kind of condescending tone built into that. And I don't know if you guys dealt with that. That's always a funny one to me, because people just, they have no idea. And some people, it's just genuine interest. But a lot of people is like, oh, see, that little YouTube thing, like you can make a living, you can pay the bills with that. It's like, I just always found that really funny.
Yeah, I like that. Because usually if people like speak condescendingly, it's because they have some deep-rooted insecurity about the topic.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
you can usually just get really serious and look up in the eye if they ask you, like, so that's all you do is YouTube, and just say, no, I do other things.
Yeah.
So my response is, of course, I get to do what I absolutely love to do day in and day out, and I have people who get to encourage me to do it day in and day out, and I get paid to do it. So, yes, I do.
Yes.
Well, there's also a lot of people who have a YouTube channel that I don't know if they haven't promoted it the correct way, or they think it should be doing better, or they're just relying on YouTube income, which YouTube AdSense is just not. It's not where your bread is buttered.
No.
No way. I mean, there's no way that any of us, I don't think at this point, could survive solely on our YouTube.
No, it's not from AdSense. It's the total of the small sums.
By any means.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to put money away to ship all the free stuff that I'm giving away, because it's probably going to cost me a couple $100 to ship everything out. So
yeah, shipping is crazy expensive.
So, yeah.
I was considering sending my stickers to like everybody in the, like, I Like to Make Stuff Facebook group. Then I like did the math. It's like, oh my god, the postage on that, just the stamps, just one stamp per person.
Then envelopes and then stickers. And
it would add up to a ridiculous amount. So, cool. Well, I think we've probably... That's enough negativity talk. I don't want to... Yes. This is a really...
this has been a negative show.
I know. I want some positivity. But we have a question from the audience. I don't know if it's really a positive question, but we do have a question from Evan Dunville. Hey, Evan. He's a consistent live listener, so thanks for being here. And his question is, what's our biggest fear when doing a project? So he says danger or safety, but neither of those is my biggest fear. It's for me personally, it's failure. It's, you know, it's messing up the project to a point where it can't be salvaged. That's my biggest fear, I think. Because, again, as we've discussed before in multiple episodes, every project, you know, I think all of us are kind of pushing ourselves, you know, a little bit past what we really are capable of. And, you know, with that comes the inevitable point where, you know, things could go sideways. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think my biggest fear is actually the response of the audience. I think that's the thing I'm thinking about the most when I'm actually doing things is how will the audience take this? And if the project bombs, either I can do a video on how not to do this, or I have another one waiting in the wings that can take its place. But that's, I think that's the biggest thing for me, is I'm always looking at the project and what I'm doing and saying, you know, how will my audience like this? Is there something I can do that will add more value to this project for the audience? Or is there something I can do that would make the audience enjoy this more?
Yeah.
I think that's my biggest constant fear.
Yeah.
I have to say mine is running out of battery during the shoot.
How big is your SD card? That's the other question. Is it like
two gigs? I got an upgrade. It changed my life. So I was working with an 8 gig SD card up until Christmas.
That's like 30 seconds for me.
Seriously, man, me too. 4K, that's like literally 4 minutes.
You guys are so cool. So I had an 8 gig, and it would, I mean, I probably had to dump it like 5 to 6 times on my average project. So this cards. Christmas, and it's funny because I didn't even buy it for myself. Like, I just made it known that, like, kind of like the battery, that's my new thing that I need to work on. Maybe I'll get one next year for Christmas. So I got I think they're either 32 or 64. I don't know because I haven't filled one up yet, and it's incredible. Like, I can film.
Yeah.
You know, a whole day's worth of what I film, and it's incredible.
Yeah, 64 gigs.
I have six SD cards, and only one of the, my smallest one is 64.
Jeez, why do you need six? Do you just not clean them off frequently?
No. I usually they're either mostly up at the computer or mostly down by the camera, and I don't want to spend the time going back and forth to get it.
Yes.
A 64 gig will last me a half day worth of the shop.
Man, that's wild. Yeah, you
and some projects I'm running multiple cameras, so I'll have multiple cards.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense. Cool. Well, we've got another question for the audience from Guy, from Guy's Woodshop. What's going on, Guy? He asks, at what point do we consider a project unsavable?
I'd say when
I throw it through the wall in frustration.
How about you, Zach?
I'd say one of two things. One, it ends up as a different project. like I'll just take what's remained from the failed project and turn it into a whole different project. For instance, if a table turns into a bench because you screw something up. But then it's not a failure anymore. It's just, you know, either that or if it ends up in my forge.
Yeah,
I always ask myself, is there a lesson from this that I can teach in a video? And if so, then that might be a great opportunity for a video. Or it might just end up being scrap for something else.
Yeah. Yeah, my bandsaw box video almost became a fail video because I had made and ruined three blanks. So three attempts at making one stupid bandsaw box had basically... They're still sitting on the top shelf of my miter saw station. They're just there as like a reminder. You know, it's like, this is what could happen if you don't pay attention. So, yeah, it's... It would take a lot, though. No major project that I've worked on has ever, like, become firewood. You know, it's... To me, we've talked about this before. Yeah, mistakes can become design features very easily. You know? I mean, like on this organ cabinet build, you know, wasn't paying attention close enough, and Festool Domino had it set to the wrong depth and punched right through, and that became a through tenon, and, you know, that kind of has a cool look and just made it match on the other side, and that was that. So I think woodworking is just as much about covering your mistakes as it is about actually being perfect. You know, there's
I did have some like interesting thought, just a general thought. One of my like earlier like actual furniture pieces that I did, it's on my YouTube channel, the just the little end table thing, just really basic, nothing fancy at all. So I screwed up the drawer when I put it in there because I used a standard slide and I didn't give myself enough room. It slid in fine, but once I had everything assembled, I couldn't get the drawer in there because I didn't account for the slides that I used where you have to like tilt them. So I went, okay, crap. So I lowered the bar a little bit and the front sits a little bit lower than the sides on there. It's not like chintzy looking or anything. It's just not square all the way, or it's just not level all the way around with the front with the sides, and that was one of my earlier pieces. But as soon as I like took it apart and accounted for that and redid it and I was done and I went inside and I sat down, that's when I was like, man, there were like two or three super easy fixes I could have done. Like I could have either just notched the back of the drawer so that I could have slid it in, or I could have just gone with the extension slides instead of the roller slides so that it would just slide right in and I wouldn't have had to do any of that extra work. So the moral of that story, or the point I'm trying to make, is that if you screw something up, take a step back, calm down, and like go for a walk and think about the different ways to fix it. Because usually, you know, you'll screw something up and you immediately jump to, oh, this is what I have to do to fix that, and it's frustrating and it might not be the best option. But if you just take a walk, like walk around the block, and usually there's a handful of other ways that you can fix your mistake that you wouldn't think about if you're in there in the moment. So that's my advice for making mistakes anyway.
Now you just made me think, I'm thinking back through projects and I don't think I've had anything that I've actually scrapped other than one particular tool that it was so far gone that there was no way of actually fixing it. But everything else, if something goes wrong on it, it just becomes an opportunity to improvise, do something different, or make it a design feature.
Yep. Yeah. You figure it out. I mean,
that's the best part of the game.
Yep. You got to go with the flow. I mean, especially if it's like your first time doing something, like, you're not going to nail it most of the time. You know, it's just not going to happen. There's so many things that can go wrong. I mean, it's just part of it. So, and that's why I try to leave a lot of that stuff in my videos, because I think when you present this face of not making any mistakes, it's very intimidating to people who are learning. And, we all do it. I mean, whether we put it in our videos or not, we all make plenty of mistakes. So I don't believe anybody if they say they don't. So yeah, it's just part of it. So yeah.
Well, like with the leather roll, part of the video was I mismeasured something. I made it two inches wider than it needed to be.
Yeah.
And I was kicking myself when I finally realized that. And I was thinking I'm going to have to throw this out. And then suddenly this idea came of overlapping it, and it became this design feature. Now everyone's commenting, wow, you didn't make a mistake. That was actually really cool. I like that. I'm going to do that on my own.
Yep.
And yeah.
That's like the white stripe on the jack stand side tables. I got so many comments of people who liked that. It's like, yeah, that was a total accident. So glad you liked that. That's just how it works out. So cool. Well, let's move into what we're watching. What do you guys got?
I've been watching Graco Whatever. If you haven't seen him, he's...
A Jocko Whatever?
What did I say?
Graco, yeah.
Jocko. I said Graco. I
read Graco Keller.
Graco. I'm like, yeah, Graco Whatever? That dude's ripping off Jocko.
He recently put out a video making this little Allen wrench key just to do a specific task for him. And he kind of had this whole ethos to the video of, you know, take what you have and customize it to you and make it yours. And it was just a really cool video of this. You know, there's absolutely no way I could make a video on making that dumb little thing. But in explaining in the way he did and showing it off, it was just kind of cool. And if you haven't seen his stuff, you got to go take a look at it. He has a lot of really cool, just out-of-the-box things that you're never going to see anywhere else.
Yeah, he is absolutely one of my favorite YouTube woodworkers. He is his video production is unbelievable. Like,
yes,
just ridiculous. It his shop is insane. I mean, that dude, yeah, he's awesome. He is highly inspiring for sure. So mine is How to Make Everything. So he just did a collaboration with David Picciuto, and I've been subscribed to him for a long while. I'm super into homebrewing as well. I don't know if you guys know that, but he did a video, I don't know, at least like 8 or 9 months ago now. He made a wheat beer, but so his whole thing is he literally makes every single thing from scratch. So he grew wheat, he malted the wheat, he grew hops, then he made the beer. Like, it was unbelievable. Like, every single thing, there was nothing like purchased, you know? So, his videos are awesome. He just did a collaboration with David Picciuto. As I said, he made his own, prescription lenses. No, he made his own prescription lenses. He blew glass, cut out some lenses, and then like ground them down to match his prescription, then sent the lenses to Picciuto, who made the frames. Like, just ridiculous stuff.
That's crazy.
He's got one where he made his own suit and, you know, literally, like, knitted the wool and all this stuff. So it's an awesome channel. Really, really good production value. So I would highly recommend checking it out. I mean, especially since we're all into making stuff, he's on a whole nother, like, wavelength.
Sounds like
us.
My type of channel.
Yeah, he does not, like, go to Lowe's to find his stuff. You know, it's, he, like, for the wood, for the glasses frames, he cut down his own ash tree, milled it up, and then dried the lumber in his microwave, and then that's what he sent to Picciuto for the frames. So it's literally making everything. So really, really cool stuff. I highly recommend it. So
I'm checking him out now. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So how about you, Zach?
So I've still been I'm almost through that book that I've been reading. The When Design Really Works book. We can probably put it in the description. But I've been kind of veering off from that and looking into, spending a lot of time doing research on like designers. Mm-hmm. I actually did a blog post on it the other day. I'm actually going to do a series in my blog where I highlight certain designers. And it was funny because when I went to Cincinnati, I went into like an old kind of vintage furniture store. It was all secondhand stuff, but that's what they specialize in. And I just got to talking with the guy that was working there, and we were talking about just design in the 50s and 60s and how much different it is than now, and how back in the day, like, designers were almost celebrities. Like, people could name,
yes,
like, their favorite designers. Like, they knew who designed their kitchen table or their, I mean, not everybody, but it was a lot more common for people to be acquainted with designers. And you know, it's changed a lot nowadays. Now, I said it in the blog post, but now everything, our design is a byproduct of efficiency and cost savings.
Yeah.
Like that's what's left over. It's not, things aren't designed with style first and foremost. So that's what I've been kind of delving into. I've found some really cool people. I've gotten a lot of ideas. I've seen some pieces that I feel like I need to replicate at some point. Gio Ponti, Michael Graves, Philip Stark, John Prouvé. There's a whole handful of designers that I'm just really kind of trying to acquaint myself with, and I'm going to do write-ups on my blog of them. So
cool.
That's kind of my goal, is to just have a handful of them that I'm familiar with, and hopefully people who read my blog will someday be familiar with them as well.
Do you have an email newsletter yet, by the way?
Nope.
Dude, get one, because I'm pretty sure like that's how I read like 90% of the blog posts I actually read, is being on people's email lists. I don't ever actually go directly to people's websites. I don't know about you guys, but like, you know, Jay does his weekly things around the web, and I would never read that if I were not on his email list, because I just need that reminder. So it's like, you know, it's like your YouTube subscription, same deal. So do it. Yeah.
I should do that. I'm really bad at like doing things that are modern and up to date. I'm like 10 years behind.
I feel like I'm your like mother. I'm like nagging you to do these things. Cool. Well, so I guess y'all want to move into favorite tools of the week?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool. What you got, James? You want to kick us off?
Speaking of leather, I think my favorite tool of the week is actually, it's a punch designed for threading leather. And it's a punch with 4 or 5 hole punches, all side by side, but they're all evenly spaced. And so you can actually punch all the holes for making your stitching. And it is, I don't know why, but it is a therapeutic tool to use. And it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I spent a lot of time with it recently. So,
because you're stabbing fleshy things over and over, it's kind of creepy.
Yes, yeah.
It looks like a very short fork.
Also isn't, the one I have isn't just a. There's two types. The one that's actually it punctures and spreads the hole, and then there's the type that actually will punch the hole and will put out these tiny little dots of leather. And so my bench was covered with hundreds and hundreds of these tiny little dots of leather. And they were just fun.
That's awesome. Man, I need to purchase some of those. That will be like a good kickstart to get into this freaking leather thing, because I didn't realize how a lot of this stuff is really cheap.
Oh, yeah. You can get into leatherworking for like $20-$30 and
really?
Just
what's anything. Like, is it, how expensive is like the actual leather itself? Is it
leather
pretty
can
pricey?
Be pricey if you
like what's
well, yeah, it depends on what you want. Like, yeah. the piece that I had.
Yeah, how much
it's an entire
side. Yeah.
So it ended up being like 22 square feet. But I bought it for $60.
Oh my God. That's not bad at all.
No.
No. And it's enough. I'm going to be making an apron. I'm making this massive tool roll. I put leather on all my jaws. I put leather on my holdfasts. And I have several other.
Where do you get that from?
Tanded leather?
Yeah.
Is the big guy if you're shipping, but they also have stores all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so what would like a just because I'm visual, like a sheet of paper, like what would a piece like leather that size
like cost?
I'm sure it depends.
I don't know.
Bucks.
I never buy them that small.
Yeah, like nothing.
You can get it on
would
Amazon
you say $5?
For like $5, $10.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I need to get into this stuff.
Yeah, and it depends on the quality. Like obviously if you're buying like Horween leather or some like the top possible quality, obviously it'll be expensive, more expensive, yeah. But you're not going to do that for anything shop project related or really almost anything. I mean, unless you just really are a pro. I don't know if you guys have local places like that. It turns out like the Western store in my town, you know, they sell like cowboy boots and stuff like that. In their basement, they have a saddle repair shop that has a ridiculous selection of leather that you can buy.
That's crazy.
Directly. So, because I really like,
look
you
up
know,
shoe repair.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of them will actually sell leather and the tools as well.
Yeah. Cause I like to be able to see that stuff in person, you know, cause you get the feel of the weight and, you know, kind of the suppleness. Cause certain things you want supple, certain things you don't. So, I mean, obviously, you know, you buy leather in, you know, the number of ounces or whatever. So, That can give you a pretty good indication, but it's all going to
until you've been in it for a while, you don't know what you're going to get until you feel it.
No, yeah, it's a very tactile thing. So, that's cool. I think we'll definitely do a future episode on leather once we learn more. I know, James, you've kind of made me want to get into that more now.
I don't know if I want to dive into brass first or leather first. I'm torn, but one of the two, it's going to happen.
They're both. Man, they're like to me. Both those materials are. They just have this sexiness to them, you know. Like when either one is done well, like I just got all this Brusso hardware in the mail. That stuff, I mean, it is just
so freaking nice.
Like, it is unbelievable. I'm making this jewelry box for my wife, and it's going to have, like, $200 of hardware on it. Just because I can, you know, just because it'll be fun. And their hardware is insane. It, yeah, that and some good leather, man. Mm. Some nice materials for sure. You can definitely up your perceived value quite a bit with both those items.
And if you have a Tandy leather store near you, you have got to go and just smell it.
Oh yeah,
the
yeah.
store smells yeah. fantastic.
We need a sexual innuendo ding or something that we can hit anytime somebody it's says something effect. that's silence the land.
So there are sound effects built into this podcast thing, but I don't think you guys can hear them because you can't hear the intro music. I don't think. Like I'm gonna fire one off. Here we go. Could you hear that? No.
No.
No. No.
All right. Well, for the audience's benefit, they just got a free sound effect. So I hope that you enjoyed.
That'll cost them.
Yeah. That'll
another dollar on Patreon.
Cool. Well, I guess my tool of the week. I don't know if it's tool or not, but these gloves, they're Venom branded gloves. They're latex gloves and they are so freaking nice. Like having good latex gloves. I had no idea how much of a difference in your life it makes because they don't like snap in half when I'm pulling them onto my hand. B, I can actually take them off, like using the whole, you know, blowing into your glove trick to get them off your hand. And so I can use them like 5 or 6 times easily. And so it's way less wasteful. And I don't think I had a C, but they're very comfortable nonetheless. And they don't make my hands sweat as bad as some of the other ones. They're freaking awesome. So I will have a link in the show notes to the Venom gloves. So, yeah.
Huh.
Zach, how about you?
I recently acquired a... Get ready for a string of numbers and letters that don't mean anything to you unless you Google them. A DeWalt DCG414T2. You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. I bought one of those a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
You did. Yeah. It's their flexible angle grinder.
Yeah.
And it is awesome. So... It's not like if I'm doing a lot of grinding, I still prefer my cheap $60 DeWalt one. But this thing is so awesome to not have like cords and to not have to like unwrap it and plug it in and like plug it into an extension cord. And because having two angle grinders is just magical because I'm always flipping between like a grinding disc and a flap wheel and a quick strip disc or a cutting disc. There's just too many wheels and not enough grinders. So having two and having one that doesn't need a battery, it's perfect. It's awesome. I love it. So that's my tool of the week.
Yeah, that thing is super, super, super sweet. It is incredibly powerful too. Like I went to the...
Do you have one?
Yeah. They sent me one. I went to their media thing over the summer and got to try that stuff, you know, like when they first unveiled it or whatever to the press, and they were comparing it to the Milwaukee 18 volt and we were cutting through like 3/4 inch rebar or something like that. And it was insane, man. It was cutting through that stuff like butter, like it was nothing. And you know, the Milwaukee was nothing against Milwaukee, but it's just a way different tool power wise. So it's very, very impressive what they did with that whole line. I have the FlexVolt miter saw too. So yeah, it's cool stuff.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
A miter. I couldn't believe that when I saw that, a battery powered miter saw.
It is unbelievable. It is just as powerful. Like it is really incredible. And so I used it when they first sent it to me, it didn't have the plug in adapter with it. So I just had to use it with the batteries for, I mean, probably like a month, and
get decent life,
dude,
with it
like
that.
Like multiple days without even having to charge it. So it's
crazy.
It was pretty amazing. And granted, I'm not like installing crown molding in a house or anything. You know, these are for, you know, projects that I'm using it for, you know, maybe a dozen or so cuts. You know, I don't use my miter saw like an insane amount unless I'm building like a fence or something. But it is, It's very, very impressive. So, but that stuff is pricey, man. It is not cheap. Those batteries.
Yeah.
Those batteries are like $150 bucks each by themselves.
But, yeah, I mean, for anybody out there, if you're considering angle grinders, the powered one that I have, like, I've looked at all of them, and like the $60 one, the cheapest one they make is still, like, if I had to have one, that would still be the one I would have if I can only have one.
Yeah, buy because four of those instead of a FlexVolt one. I mean, you know.
Well, they spin faster.
Yeah.
Which I think it's the FlexVolt one, I think, spins at 9,000, and the other ones are like 12.5, I think. Huh. And you can tell the difference when you're grinding. If you're using like a flap wheel or a quick strip disc, I actually like the battery one for the quick strip disc because those things are kind of soft, and the lower RPM actually keeps them together better. So, but yeah, I mean, if I had a bunch of money and it disappeared, I would totally want to buy the FlexVolt again. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, very sweet for sure. But again, you could literally buy like five of those. So,
but, you know. But being able to like not have to run extension cords is pretty revolutionary for me, especially like in my truck. Cause my garage is full of crap.
Oh,
so,
yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that.
Like, I literally, like, if I have to take my angle grinder to my truck, I have to run an extension cord out there. And my extension cords are always tied in, like, Gordian knots. So,
I do pretty much all my metal work out in the driveway as well, just to keep it out of the wood shop. And I have one like ridiculously long extension cord just for the angle grinder, and it gets kind of annoying because, you know, you end up tripping over it and unplugging it, and it's just a hassle. So, I mean, the whole world is going cordless, I'm pretty sure. So, it's just gonna happen because the battery technology is getting so good. So,
yeah,
cool. Well, I think that is gonna do it for this week. So. Thanks, everybody, for listening. As always, thanks to everybody in the live chat. That just keeps growing and growing, and it's just so much fun. Really great to have those questions.
Yeah, you guys make it a lot of fun for us. It's nice to know that we have an audience.
Yeah, it makes us want to be here, like, on time and ready to roll every week. I think if it wasn't a live show, like, we'd be getting into the, oh, it's 8:15, maybe we'll start recording now. It's 8:30, you know, like, I don't know. For me, it makes it a lot more important, so... Yeah, thanks to them, and thanks to everybody on Patreon who's come through. That has been really cool. If you guys want to support us, it's patreon.com/craftedpodcast. And until next week, happy building, guys.
Our goal should be to have enough money to where each of us can buy our own beer when we get together.
Yeah, maybe $20 would be good.
So we'll need like $9.
Yes.
Maybe we can borrow some money from the Maker's Hustle. They're doing pretty well.
Yeah, or Wood Talk. The Wood Talk guys could just like...
They can spot us a beer.
They could buy us a car, I think. Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. And until next time, happy building. See you later.
Bye.
Goodbye.